Let us pray. Gracious Father, we come before you this morning and thank you for this glorious day that you have created. This is the day that you have made. May we, your people, rejoice and be glad in all that you have done and are doing. I pray that you would take your word as we hear it this morning and work it deep within our lives, that through the presence and power of your Holy Spirit, you would bring profound change in and through us. And so to that end, we make our prayer this morning, come, Holy Spirit. We still our hearts before you in this time. We ask that you would come and do your mighty work in us through the grace of our Savior. Amen. Well, today is Ascension Sunday. It's the day that we celebrate and remember Jesus ascending up into heaven, being seated now at the right hand of his Father. You know, after the resurrection, Jesus spent 40 days with his disciples, and then he told them he was going to be going up to heaven, which he did. And while we now know that Jesus is in heaven, he is not present among us physically now. Nonetheless, through his grace, we are brought into this life-altering relationship with him through the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, this gift that he has given to us, his church. Well, before Jesus went to the cross, he said some profound words to his disciples the night before he was handed over to be betrayed. And some of the words included a charge that would change the course and direction of the lives of the disciples. And it's the charge that he gives when he says, abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. It's the charge that we find in John chapter 15, the call to abide in Christ. And that's what we're going to look at for the next few minutes. We're going to look at three things that I believe verses 1 through 11 point out for us. The first is this. As we are called to abide in Christ, we come to recognize our dependence on Christ. And as we recognize our dependence on Christ, we come to reorder our lives around him. And as we do that through this abiding, what we find is this, that our lives are reshaped around the person and work of Jesus. Those are the three things that we're going to look at this morning. So the first one is this, recognizing our dependence on Christ. Jesus said in John 15, verses 4 through 5, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. Well, Jesus here uses this grapevine to illustrate a very important spiritual truth for us. The truth is this, that the branches, if they're going to live, if they're going to bear fruit, have got to be connected to the vine, their source of life. You see, there's a dependence there. Only when the sap freely flows through the vine into the branches will the branches come alive and ultimately bear fruit. You see, here's the spiritual connection. Only as you and I are so engrafted in and connected to Christ, abiding in him, will we come alive and our lives bear fruit as his life bared fruit. There's an important thing to recognize there about dependence, our dependence on Christ. Well, if you think about it, all creation speaks about dependence. The flowers that I planted in my garden this spring are dependent on water if they're going to grow and display the beauty that they were created to have. Bees are dependent on pollen and nectar if they're going to make honey. Fish are dependent on the water that they swim in. They cannot live out of water. I mean, think about it like this. A baby is dependent on its mother for food. A child dependent on the nurture of his in care of his parents or caregivers as he or she grows up. You know, while creation speaks of dependence, you and I shout independence. You know, our natural bent because of sin is not to be dependent, but independent. We long to create and live out of truths that we conjure up, that we say are best for us to live by. We don't want anyone to tell us what we ought to do. I mean, think about it like this. How many times have you, when working on a project and somebody comes up and offers help, and you respond like this, "No thanks, I've got it. I can do it on my own." Or, for those of you who are married, how many times has your spouse offered assistance or advice, and you thought to yourself, hopefully you didn't say out loud, but you thought to yourself, "I can do it better my way. I don't need your help." We've all thought that from time to time. You see, as independent as we want to be, we're all dependent on something if we really peel back the onion and look down deep within. You see, the addict finds that he or she has become dependent on a substance for peace in the midst of a hurting or dissatisfied life. The one longing for love becomes dependent on a relationship with another to satisfy that desire for being loved. And how many of us have become dependent on other people for their approval and their acceptance? Or how many of us have become dependent on things to satisfy our hunger and thirst for peace and happiness? You see, the truth is this. You and I were created by a creator. We were created to be dependent on him, not independent. That's what Adam and Eve did in the garden when they chose the fruit, when they were tempted by Satan. What Jesus is doing here in this passage is he is inviting us back into life, a life that is found only in Christ. That as we come to abide in him, not only do we find ourselves coming more and more alive, we find our lives bearing fruit as well. And that's why Jesus says 10 times in this passage, "Abide in me." Now, you know what a life abiding in Christ is all about? It's all about living with an active dependence on the Lord, moment by moment. Let me say that again. A life abiding in Christ is living out of an active dependence on Christ, moment by moment. And what Jesus shows us here is this. The impetus for our abiding is his love. Look at John 15, verse 9. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Abide in my love." You see, friends, I hope you see this morning, that abiding in Christ brings us into direct contact with the love of God. As a friend of mine put it, he said this, "Abiding in Christ brings us unfettered joy, fullness of affection, and a deluge of delight." That's exactly what abiding in Christ does. You see, when we encounter the love of God, we realize that we have just found what our hearts have always longed for. Now, Jesus was very intentional, I believe, in using this vine analogy here with his disciples. Because I want you to think about it like this. We've got to think about it in the context of what he's saying here. Jesus had just celebrated the Passover with his disciples. And then he gives them this call to abide in him. Well, I want you to think about this vine analogy for a moment. The fruit of the vine are grapes. Grapes are used to make wine. And just as they had celebrated the Passover, we read this in Matthew 26, verses 27 and 28. "And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink this, all of you. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I love this picture. Do you get it? The wine symbolized the blood that Jesus would shed for you and me on the cross as he gave up his life, as he took away our sins, and he brought us back into communion with God. Don't miss this beautiful picture. When you and I come and taste and see how good his love for us really is, the desire begins to increase in us for us to reorder our lives around the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave his life in love for you and me. And this is where we see the second point this morning, a reordering of our lives around Christ. We read this in John 15, verse 5. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. You know, there's a lot of reordering going on in our lives today, isn't there? Anytime something jars a nation like the coronavirus pandemic, people begin to reconsider what they've been giving their lives to. People begin to reconsider what they have been valuing. And a reordering begins to take place. You see, as followers of Christ, many of us have been shaken out of our complacency. We've begun to rethink, what are we giving our lives to? We're thinking about what matters most these days. Well, here's the question I want to ask us. What does it look like for you and me to truly reorder our lives around Christ? Because I know the reality as much as you do. So often we go throughout our day trying to fit Christ in here or a little bit here, reading a little bit of scripture here, praying here for a moment, and then we just go on about our day, often forgetting about the presence of Jesus with us. The invitation to abide in Christ is an invitation for you and me to rethink biblically what it looks like for us to center our lives around the life and love of Jesus. Now, if we're going to reorder our lives around Jesus, we've got to come up with a plan, don't we? We've got to be intentional, because you know as well as I do, if we don't have a plan to do something, it's not going to get done. Well, let me give you some things to consider about what it looks like to reorder our lives around Christ. How are the spiritual practices that you've been engaging in leading you to a more fully surrendered life to Christ? Do you have a plan throughout the day where you're being nurtured in your relationship with Christ? There are different practices that we can engage in that will lead us in a deeper, more consistent abiding in Christ. Practices like reading God's Word and meditating on it. Prayer, silence, solitude, keeping the Sabbath, a commitment to corporate worship. And I know that's tough for many of us now, but we can still worship virtually and take those practices that we engage in our worship service on a Sunday, and take those practices and begin to implement them or incorporate them in our daily lives throughout the week. Now, let me say this before I go on. I'm not talking about something that is supposed to overwhelm you. Abiding in Jesus is not about striving or trying to earn God's love. What it's really doing, and I hope you get this picture, what abiding in Christ is all about is about putting ourselves in the place of Jesus' love for you and me. So I want you to think about one small step that you could take today to begin to order your life around the life of Christ. Where in your day or where in your evening can you take a few moments to read and meditate on his word, to stop and pray, to be still before the Lord and worship him. Now, to do this, I recognize that most of us are going to have things in our lives that we actually let go of so that we can incorporate some of these new practices in. And I know that that is not easy, and I know we've got to give ourselves grace that it's going to take time to begin to reorder our lives more fully around the life of Christ. Now, I want you to hear this. I'm not talking about a bunch of legalistic rules that we have to go and do in order to earn God's love. What I'm talking about is the intentionality of bringing spiritual practices into our lives that help us become more centered around the life and love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, as we recognize our dependence on Him, as we begin to reorder our lives around Him, what we find is our lives begin to be reshaped by the life and love of Jesus. And that brings us to our third point this morning, how abiding in Christ actually reshapes our lives. In John 15, verses 7 through 8, Jesus said, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples." What you and I need to see here in this passage is this. Abiding in Christ can't help but transform our lives around the life of Jesus. Think about this. When you and I know that we are loved in Christ, it begins to change the way we live in our relationships with one another, doesn't it? You see, no longer do we have to hide or put on a pose to try to show something that we're really good or a lot better than we are to someone else. Instead, we have the freedom now in Christ to be vulnerable because Jesus sees all, He's forgiven all, and He loves us completely. What we also find is this: abiding in Christ strengthens our faith. When you and I are faced with incredible obstacles, and many of us are right now, when we go through seasons where life seems to become unraveled, God, through His Word, reminds us of His love, that He is in control. And through that abiding, our faith is strengthened. We also find that abiding transforms our desires. Jesus said, "Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you." You see, when we come to God in prayer, bringing our request, as we're abiding in Christ, what we find is that we begin to long for what He longs for. His desires become our desires because we are so connected to Him. Paul picked up on this and wrote about it in Galatians. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, and then verses 22 to 24, we read this: "But I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." And he goes on in verse 22, and he writes, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." What Paul is saying here is this: through this abiding relationship with Christ and the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in us, our desires begin to change. We long that our lives be characterized by the fruit of the Spirit that Paul mentioned here. And as they do, we begin to see that we actually bear fruit. It changes the way you and I do life. It changes the way you and I relate to one another in every relationship that we have, as abiding transforms our desires. And finally, we see this, that abiding, it shapes how we view the world. You see, Jesus came into this world bringing the kingdom of God among us. this kingdom to restore the brokenness and redeem what the enemy sought to destroy. When we abide in Christ, we begin to see the world not through our perspective, but through God's perspective. And through our abiding, we recognize that every single one of us has a vital part to play in Jesus restoring and redeeming this world. And that part to play is something that we looked at a couple of weeks ago, that you and I actually do the very works of Jesus. It reframes how we view the world. Now, I want to end with this. A few weeks ago, I was preaching from John chapter 14. Jesus having this conversation with his disciples, letting them know that he's about to die and go to heaven and prepare a place for them. And in the midst of this conversation, Philip, one of the disciples, said to him these words, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still don't know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Jesus told Philip, "Whoever has seen me has seen the Father." Now, I want you to think about this for a moment. What would it be like if the people who saw you, the people that you have a relationship with, that they would so experience the very presence of Jesus through your life? That your life, through abiding, becomes so engrafted in Christ that you bring the very life and work of Jesus wherever you go. You see, friends, the only way that's possible, and frankly, that's the greatest calling that you and I have, the incredible privilege to take the life and love of Jesus wherever we go. And oh, how this community needs to see that today. Oh, how people need to see the Savior who came to redeem and restore and bring hope and new life. Through our abiding, we recognize our dependence on the Lord. We reorder our lives around His life, and our lives become reshaped to bear more and more of the fruit and the life and love of Jesus. I can't think of any greater mission that you and I could be about. I can't think of any greater calling and privilege than to abide in Christ. So the invitation this morning is the invitation that Jesus gave: come and abide. Father, we submit this to you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.